from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll read verses 8 through 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. Now hear God's word. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. Now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Thus ends the reading. Let's pray.
In Peter's second letter, 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter says this about some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. Beginning at verse 15, he said there, "And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." And I'll just point out that the Apostle Peter refers to the writings of the Apostle Paul, and he calls them scripture. But my point this evening is that he says some of them are hard to understand. Some of the things about which he wrote are difficult. And I think, at least for me, some of the things in 1 Corinthians 13, specifically verses 8 through 13, can be difficult. And the only way I can really describe what the Apostle Paul does here in these verses is to compare it to a literary device that has been used and is sometimes called nesting. Sometimes authors have written a story, and within that story, they will have another story. It's been some time since I've read Winnie the Pooh or had Winnie the Pooh read to me, but I understand that that story begins with the reading of a story. And there are other items of literature we could turn to this evening, but the point is, I think that is what is happening here. And so our purpose tonight is to begin looking at this and to begin looking at the story within the greater story. Because verses 8 through 13, rather verses 8 through 12, contain that story within the larger story. The larger story being 1 Corinthians, the letter itself, and also, as we've even looked at, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Remember that Paul wrote to these Christians at Corinth for a number of reasons, and some of which were they were involved in gross sin. There were divisions in the church, and they had exalted some of the gifts of the Spirit, which led to division. And so he points out in chapter 13 that unless these gifts are exercised by a motive of love, they are nothing. And so you recall, he began chapter 13 by saying, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal." And you've heard it said many times. I've heard you say it many times. You have to do the right thing for the right reason in the right way. I'm in full agreement with that because that is God's way. It is biblical. And so here we learn that we must exercise spiritual gifts, We must do them in the right way and for the right reason, and the right reason is the motive of love. And so, as we ended verses 1 through 7 last time, we looked at love where it says love endures all things. In verse 8, Paul begins by saying love never fails, or love never ends. And this underscores what he's already pointed out, and that is that love has the supremacy. It is superior even to spiritual gifts. Why? Because in verse 8 he says, love never ends. And then he begins to say that some of these other things will end. For instance, prophecy, knowledge, and tongues. Now, before we begin this evening, I need to say a few things. And the first one is, tonight will be one half of a sermon, and I hope we finish the sermon next week. The second thing is that when we talk about spiritual gifts biblically, I think we can categorize them, as many have, by saying there were ordinary spiritual gifts and there were extraordinary spiritual gifts. The ones that were extraordinary were revelatory. And that means that through those extraordinary or special spiritual gifts, God revealed His will to His church. So God spoke through those who had those special or extraordinary gifts. They revealed the will of God. The ordinary gifts, such as service and things of that nature, did not serve that purpose. Now, can you guess which gifts the Corinthians exalted? The ones that were done behind the scene, or the ones that were front and center? It was the ones that were front and center, the extraordinary gifts: prophecy, knowledge, and tongues. So, let's begin walking through these verses, and I think this evening we'll see about three truths here, and so we're setting the groundwork so that we can understand the larger picture, the larger story. This is the story within the story, if you will. First of all, in verse 8, Paul teaches that revelatory gifts are temporary. Those gifts through which God would reveal His will to His church in the New Testament church are temporary. If you look at verse 8, it says, love never ends or fails. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. Knowledge, it will pass away. I think it's indisputable that these three categories of gifts, or three gifts, will cease at some point, because he says so right here. Something to note, however, is exactly what he says in the original. That is, prophecies will cease to function, and he says tongues will cease, that is, they will come to an end, and knowledge will pass away as well. They too will cease to function. And what he does in the original, he uses two different words to describe what will happen to these three gifts. If you look at verse 8, he says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. And if you look down, it says, as for knowledge, it will pass away. And the way it's worded, it means that something is going to come that will cause these two gifts, prophecy and knowledge, to pass away. If you look at the verse again, he says, as for tongues, they will cease. He uses a different verb in the original. The tongues will come to an end. And the implication there is that tongues will end on their own. So on the one hand, you have prophecy and knowledge. Something is going to come that will cause those to pass away. But then there's tongues, and it sort of will just end on its own. Now, in the providence of God, that will happen. And yes, I think that it has happened, but we'll get to that, I hope, in a moment. Now, what about the gift of tongues? Briefly, let me say to you what I believe concerning the gift of tongues. The word tongue means tongue. Glossolalia, I think, is the Greek word. And it refers to a known language, not gibberish. Turn with me to Isaiah 28, because there is a prophecy that is related to the gift of tongues. Isaiah 28 deals with judgment upon God's people. And in verse 11, it says, "Therefore, by people of strange lips and with a foreign tongue, the Lord will speak to this people to whom he has said, 'This is rest, give rest to the weary, and this is repose.' Yet they would not hear. And the word of the Lord will be to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, and so forth." But in verse 11, he talks about this strange language with the foreign language. And he's in this chapter talking about the coming judgment by means of the Assyrians upon God's people. And so what does he mean in this chapter? We'll come back to that. But I wanted you to be aware that that prophecy is in the Old Testament. Now concerning tongues, if we were to turn to Acts chapter 2, we would find Pentecost, where God poured out His Spirit, and some of those men who were there began to speak in other tongues. And in Acts 2:4, as that happened, it says that they were amazed, saying, and this is actually in Acts 2, verses 7 and 8, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" And so there were those who had come from different nations where they spoke different languages. They were all gathered together, and yet they heard each other speaking in his own language. God was communicating to them. And so the point is that tongues in Acts chapter 2 was a known foreign language or a known language. Well, in 1 Corinthians 14, turn there with me. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul begins to talk about prophecy and tongues. In verse 22, one of his conclusions is that tongues are a sign not for believers, but unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. And then he says in verse 23, "If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds?" The point is that the gift of tongues was a sign for unbelievers. So keep these things in mind. You're going to have to hold on to some of this information as I give it to you this evening, and it'll come into play a little later. So these gifts of tongues would cease on their own. Now, our tongues for today. I think not. I think the gift of tongues has ceased. And there are several reasons as to why we who are in the Reformed faith and believe in the cessation of the gift of tongues believe so. And let me just give you a couple or a few reasons tonight. Number one, they were a sign and ceased before the completion of the New Testament. Tongues were a sign for unbelievers and ceased before the completion of the New Testament. First of all, if we were to lay out the chronology of the New Testament, that is, we can pretty much come to a conclusion as to which books of the Bible of the New Testament were written earlier, which ones were written later. And when we do that, we'll find that near the end, the gift of tongues is not mentioned or it's not alluded to. And so it appears by that, that the gift itself ceased before the completion of the New Testament. Moreover, when you consider the gifts of miracles and prophecies in the Bible, there are three time periods that God used them. And the first one was with Moses and Joshua. You go back and look there, you have all of those things in Egypt, the plagues and so forth. And then you have the miracles and signs of Elijah and Elisha. And then the third major time period there is the ministry of Jesus and his apostles. And remember that these miracles and even these sign gifts, these revelatory gifts, were a way to reveal God's truth to His church. And so when we look even at the early church after the completion of the Bible, we find that in the early church writings, the gift of tongues is not found. Clement of Rome is called an early church father. He wrote in AD 95. He doesn't mention them. Justin Martyr, who wrote in the second century, does not mention them. And then if we were to move forward to Augustine, who lived in the 300s and died in the early 400s, he had this to say about the gift of tongues. It's interesting. He talked about the gift of tongues in his commentary on, or comments on Acts 2:4. And he said, in the earliest times, the Holy Spirit fell on them that believed, and they spoke with tongues. These were signs adapted to that time, for there behooved to be that betokening, which means to be a sign of the Spirit. He says, that thing was done for a sign, and it passed away. Now, just because Augustine says so doesn't make it so. But I bring that to your attention for your information. Now, in the 1600s, it's been reported that this gift revived among the Irvingites in Europe. And then, of course, in more recent times, we have those Christian brothers and sisters who would say that the gift of tongues is for today. And don't ask me what it is that they're exercising, because I don't know. But if they can speak in a foreign language without ever studying it, maybe that would be the case. But I think because of the New Testament, of the chronology of the New Testament, and the fact that the gift of tongues is not mentioned towards the end of it, I think that is a good indication that it has ceased. But there's a second reason, and we've already read from Isaiah 28. Tongues were a sign of judgment to unbelieving Israel. Now, in that chapter in Isaiah 28, it could be that God was saying that there is a a foreign nation who is going to come in judgment, the Assyrians. And so you will hear a different language. And that different language, of course, represents judgment, the Assyrians coming to Jerusalem. But in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21, God, through Paul, reveals something interesting to us. He says there in verse 21, "In the law it is written, 'By people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me,' says the Lord. Thus tongues are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers." And so Paul takes that principle from Isaiah 28, applies it to the New Testament church and the gift of tongues. We could say that it was a sign to unbelieving Jews because they had rejected God's word, they had rejected the gospel, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And so judgment was coming. And in AD 70, judgment did come, and the Romans destroyed Jerusalem. Well, there is a third reason why I think the gift of tongues has ceased, and that is because they were an infantile and inferior means of edification. We could read 1 Corinthians 14 and see that, but I hope next time that I will prove that last reason, that they were an infantile means of edification. When I say infantile, I mean that childish, because Paul will use that illustration, that imagery, in verses 8 through 12 of our text. And so verse 8 teaches that revelatory gifts are temporary. These things will come to an end. Verse 9 teaches us that revelatory gifts are incomplete or partial. In verse 9, Paul says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." Now, when it comes to knowledge, there's the gift of knowledge. God, again, revealing certain facts to men to communicate His will. There's also the gift of prophecy. Prophecy in the Bible can be foretelling the future. It can also be forthtelling, preaching, and even talking about the past, but addressing a current situation. But Paul says here in verse 9, these gifts are incomplete. For we know, there's the gift of knowledge. We know in part and we prophesy in part. And he doesn't even mention the gift of tongues here, probably as a rebuke to them because of their emphasis, their inordinate emphasis on these gifts and these people who exercise them. And so when we look at the New Testament, early New Testament church, God's people in different pockets in the world, they needed the will of God. And so God revealed that again to them through these revelatory gifts. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, "Long ago, many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. And so there's this contrast, and he talks about the prophets of old under the old covenant, the old administration of that covenant of grace. And he says God spoke in various ways at various times, as it were, in bits and pieces. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And so with the coming of Christ will come the complete revelation of God. And so these gifts of the New Testament, these temporary gifts that would fade away, they served their purpose. They would serve their purpose, although they would be fragmentary or partial. Verse 9 says the revelatory gifts are incomplete or partial. It doesn't mean that they are ineffective or that God made a mistake. It just means that they served a temporary function in the New Testament, early New Testament church. Well, verse 10 back in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul mentions that very thing which will make the partial gifts pass away. In verse 10, he says, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. That which is in part will pass away. So what is in part? He says, verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But verse 10, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So what is it that is going to make those gifts of prophecy and knowledge go away? It is that which is perfect. When the perfect comes, that which is in part will be done away. In other words, the arrival of the perfect will render the partial inoperative. And so again, tonight we're just laying the groundwork. And so the question becomes, to what does Paul refer in verse 10 when he mentions the perfect? What is the perfect? And so for that, we'll have to wait next time. The only thing I would draw to your attention at this point is verse 13, because he says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That divine love expressed to us by God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that divine love that we've been learning about is the greatest. It is that which will remain through eternity. And therefore, Paul exalts it. And so, beloved, again, as we prayed already, let's pray that we would exercise this love towards one another, and let's exercise this love towards one another. Amen.